Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
Hi there, and welcome to So I Got to Thinking, the weekly Sex and the City podcast where we take the timeless questions of Carrie Bradshaw and apply them to modern life and love. You're listening to BB London and Judith McBain. That's Juno Dawson and Dylan B. Jones. Hi, Dylan.
Hello. But which one of us is BB London and which one of us is Judith McBain?
I am sassy socialite BB London. And you can be, what was it she got called?
That bitch. Self-righteous. Judith McBain.
Indeed. This week we've been watching season 4, episode 15. A change of address.
Oh, very, very clever.
It's a play on words.
I swear it's taken, for some of them, it's taken like literally this rewatch for me to get the pun. Like a lot of the episodes are puns, aren't they?
Oh, Dylan.
I know.
Dear. Do you have a potted synopsis for us?
I do. So the episode, again, centres around Carrie and Aidan. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like a really significant part of their storyline. It comes to a quite an abrupt finish.
It really does. Especially when you think of last week. Like last week they were eating chicken and watching gay porn. And this week they're kaput.
Yeah. And Carrie was going,
And I remember, in fact, I believe in the original Channel 4 transmission of these episodes, those two episodes went out as a double bill because at that point they were showing them in double bills. And I remember feeling like really whiplash, like I don't understand how in the space of one evening this couple has gone from eating KFC in bed to Splitsville. And I must admit, when on any rewatch as we near this episode, I start to feel really sad because obviously this is the end of the line for my boo Aidan Shaw. Just I love how every guest we've ever had on this podcast has been so horny for Aidan, whether it's Candice or Clara. Everyone just loves Aidan. Why?
Tommy, what did Tommy make of Aidan? I think Tommy liked it.
We all fancied Aidan. Who doesn't fancy Aidan? Because he's really sexy. He wears his sleeveless lumberjack shirts. He whittles love benches for your friends' wedding gifts.
He's always got like a mallet or an axe.
Oh, he's got a cute dog who wears a neckerchief, a shitty diapered dog. Oh, he will play a game of jacks with a flirty bartender. This podcast,
jacks, we still don't know. We still don't know what jacks is. But we want to play it with Aidan.
Yeah, I would play. I would go to Fivesies with Aidan, frankly. I just made an obscene gesture that my husband's mother never has to see. This podcast is just an Aidan podcast. It's called Aidan Shaw the Podcast now, and it forever will be. So yeah, I mean, does anything else happen? Is there anything else in the pot, or is it just Aidan?
It's just Aidan in my pot. Oh my God. So I loved Miranda so much in this episode. Miranda is really confused as to why she has to always, as to why she's not reacting the same as everyone else now that she's found out her baby is going to be a boy.
She has to fake a sonogram.
Interesting. Yeah, that's got interesting layers that we can get into. Samantha is... This is such a good episode. Like, Samantha's amazing in this episode as well. When she's sort of surprised to find that she wants to be monogamous with Richard. Mm-hmm. And then poor Charlotte. Oh. Basically, all Charlotte does is go to a tap dancing class by herself,
which is also amazing. Yeah, I mean, I'd say everything about this episode. This is an amazing episode.
Yeah, and really good.
And actually, we did kind of have a guest lined up for this episode, but we decided actually there's so much episode to get through in this episode that we didn't need the additional distraction of a guest. Sorry, guest. We'll have you another time. So let's start off then with Carrie and Aiden. I mean,
yes.
What went wrong?
Well, it was so, like, he was so good when she... So basically, to remind listeners, he starts really chatting quite seriously about how they're actually going to get married and where and when. And Carrie freaks out.
Or did we have the return of Susan Sharon?
Susan.
Oh, I love her so much. This is why we don't need Kim Cattrall in the reboot, because we have Susan Sharon. I know a lot of people really wish Lexi Featherston would somehow come back from the dead. Susan Sharon is right there. Mazel tov, Aiden.
Hey, what's new? What's new? What's going on with you?
Her Kashmiracle connection has returned.
The Kashmiracle is back. Also, I love that Carrie, when she asks what's going on, Carrie's just like, oh, you know, writing, gallivanting, eating, you know, the usual. What a life.
What a life. And what do we make of Carrie wearing her engagement ring around her neck? It makes me want to kick her in the face, if I'm honest.
Yeah, like, it's obviously, like, a strange thing to do. And also, that outfit in the first scene, no.
It's not, like, the worst one, like, she wears this week. We'll get on to Carrie's clothes, because in this episode, there is some of the best things she ever wears.
And the worst.
For me, the literal worst thing she ever wears, which we will get to. But the ring around the neck. It must be the same one. But the ring around the neck, I hate it. Because it's so fucking pick me, girl. It's so I'm not like other girls. It's like I'm engaged, but I don't wear my ring on my finger. I'm not like other girls. Yeah. I'm different. I'm special. I'm artsy.
She's quirky. She's quirky. She's,
yeah. Just like put it on your
Carrie
finger.
Is the ultimate.
You try hard.
Yeah, Carrie, and along with Zooey Deschanel, is like the ultimate quirky girl.
Yeah, and I must admit, I don't care for New Girl either, for similar reasons. That made me... And if I was Aiden, I would, I think, have difficulty with this woman trying to pass it off as it's just closer to my heart this way. Like, presumably he has spent thousands of pounds on... Like, I mean, I know how much engagement rings cost. Thousands of dollars on that ring. And it's tucked down between her boobs!
It's a nice ring. And... Yeah, I mean, like, it's all fine. Like, in the shower, things are slightly awkward when he's saying, oh, we could get married.
See, that makes me love him more. Did you pun in the nude?
So there were two really annoying / amazing wedding puns. There was, we can get married, and then later, oh, Carrie says a bridal wave.
Oh. So she puns, but she's fully clothed. So that's the difference. Do you know, I cannot still to this day have a shower without thinking of meanwhile in a much more modest shower. So if I'm ever in a modest shower, I'm always reminded of Carrie's little phrase. So if I'm ever in like, when you stay in a hotel and it's like a really extra shower, like with bells and whistles and stuff, I always think of my own modest shower. And Carrie and Aiden's modest shower.
Oh, I love those ones with the jets. You know it's a good one when it's got the side jets that come in.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, the side jets. I don't shower with other people, really.
I wondered where that was going. I was like, I don't shower. I was like, why?
Don't shower. I never shower, ever.
Well, eventually, I'm told the body will just clean itself, like with natural oils. No, that's not true, listeners.
I got to thinking when Carrie and Aiden were in the shower together. I thought, I wonder if, do you and Max ever do that? Or
Not really at home where we have a built-in shower cubicle. And it's quite perky for one of us, and Max is 6 foot yeah. four, so it's quite tricky. However, I believe a sexy shower can be quite sexy if it's the right okay. shower, but you've got to be a little bit careful that you're not kind of a very hot shower where you're doing lots of heavy breathing. You can go a bit lightheaded, I think.
A bit
it becomes like an inadvertent steam room. And we're going back years and years. I mean, we're going back 20 years now with actually one of my very first boyfriends when I moved to Brighton. And we did get it on in quite a small shower cubicle, actually. And I did nearly pass out. It was one of the very few times in my life I literally had to go put my head between my legs and recover, kind of. So that is a little health warning. But I think a shower can be sexy because then you know your partner is clean because you've literally just cleaned them.
That's true.
I like that. I think, yeah, I'm all for shower sex. Not with Richard Wright because he's horrible. But the act of shower sex, I think, can be fabulous.
He's so there's something reptilian about Richard Wright, isn't there?
I've seen him play nice characters and he can be not reptilian. But I kind of see what Samantha sees because he's powerful and very sexually dominant and confident. But I just no, Samantha. But let's not get distracted by Samantha and Richard. Let's stay with Carrie. So I suppose the inciting incident is not just Susan Sharon and let's get Maui'd. Although I love, and maybe this is the first red flag, and maybe there are lots of red flags that we need to wave this episode. Maybe the first red flags actually were let's get Maui'd. And then what was his other one? Winter in Aspen. Just him, a vicar and a bear. Neither of these things are very Carrie. And Carrie does point out, do I look like the grass skirt type? And both of those suggestions are so not Carrie Bradshaw that I wonder if the red flag was like, God, this guy doesn't know me. This guy is just not right, kind of.
And that would be consistent because we've had shades of that before, haven't we? Like when he got the wrong ring and there was something else as well. Like there have been, the cabin as well. Like that just so wasn't... Yeah. That just so wasn't her. And yeah, that's interesting, actually. Like, she is kind of struggling between really loving him and also being a bit like, is he like, are we actually really right for each other?
Carrie's like an old school romantic. So like, if I was going to propose to Carrie Bradshaw, I would be like, on a gazebo in Central Park. Or
on a carriage, one of those carriages.
Like, or we'll just get really dressed up and get married at Town Hall in New York. You know, I mean, let's face it, New York has to be at the wedding. The fact, actually, that he tries to remove her from New York suggests... Three times he tries to... Because he then later suggests going to Vegas. So three times he tries to remove Carrie from her beloved Manhattan. And that was never going to work, was it? So,
do you know what would be good? Is if you like rented out Tiffany's as the wedding venue. She would absolutely love that.
Well, because she later on, obviously, her original wedding to Big is supposed to be in New York Central Library, so we can see what she would go for, kind of. So maybe that's the first worry. Is just. On some level, she just knows it's not right. And I like the scene when they're at brunch and she's had the big panic attack in the horrible wedding dress. Although I know Carrie's horrible wedding dress doesn't look unlike my wedding dress.
I'm so glad you said that because I wrote down a very tentative note saying there are certain similarities.
It all fucking comes back in to fashion is the thing. And wedding dresses have always kind of... You know, now, you know, there was a period 10 years ago where everybody was wearing kind of like those Hervé Léger bandage dresses at weddings. And now they look a bit tacky and nobody's really wearing bodycon wedding dresses. And now, you know, an older silhouette is coming back. And the woman who designed my wedding dress has been like, everybody wants great big shoulders and great big sleeves, very romantic dresses. Whereas in the noughties, it was very, very streamlined dresses. And whereas now we're going, you know, lace, just as a fabric, lace became very maligned in the noughties and you didn't get a lot of lace on wedding dresses. But now, you know, you're seeing very, very romantic, almost Italian lace looking dresses. Mm. So everything comes back and around. And, you know, with my dress, I based it on a very sort of Victorian silhouette. If you're looking backwards, like you're always cool. looking forwards, I think. So,
yeah, it's very cool. It's much more interesting than just like the straight down one. It's sort of like the one that she wore to the black and white.
Oh, we'll talk about that later, because like, that is a stunning, stunning dress. I don't know why that's in her wardrobe, but it's beautiful. So yeah, Miranda takes Carrie to some like wedding dress outlet store where they try on some very unlikely 80s wedding dresses. I'm not sure why they have those in stock.
I love the two of them in there though, when they go in and Carrie's like, Miranda has everything but the gown and the groom. Oops. Just clearly having fun.
And the poor woman, I felt they were mocking her. They were mocking her dresses.
Yeah, they were.
And yeah, then Carrie very quickly goes from having hysterical laughter to a full-blown panic attack with hives, with painful-looking hives.
Yeah.
And Charlotte does rightly say, this is your fault! Like, what were you thinking taking her to that dump? It was an experiment that went awry. And I like that scene where, I think is it Charlotte says, or is it Miranda says, why did you say yes? And it does kind of, if we cast our minds back a few weeks to when Carrie did say yes in the first place, it wasn't that she desperately wanted to get married. It's that she's in love with Aiden, you know, and she does love Aiden, and she's kind of blindsided. She's blinded by the ring, which she's kind of fixated on. And then in this episode, she says it herself, a man you love gets down on one knee.
You say yes.
Because, I mean, that's in the history of every person I've ever met. Do I know anyone who has actually said a flat no to a marriage proposal? No. Ooh. So an ex of mine once brought up marriage, and I said not while it's civil partnership, because it was pre my transition and I just felt civil partnership was bullshit. So I said I wouldn't ever accept a proposal to a civil partnership. Mm. So that was kind of a very roundabout no, kind of. But I've known a number of proposals or engagements which have been called off. I think I know three people who've called off engagements. But in terms of saying no, I don't know anyone. And I'd be really interested to hear from listeners out there. Hello, listeners. Call this hotline. Have you said no? Has somebody dropped down in front of you, ring in hand? And have you said no? Because I think that must be a very, very difficult thing to say no to. I think it's in many ways, it's easier to say yes and fix it later, which is Samantha's argument for marriage, which is just marry him. And if it doesn't work, divorce him.
Get divorced.
Which?
I mean, I kind of quite like that approach in a way.
Yeah, Max and I, we didn't commit to forever and ever because I think that's crazy. You know, my parents got divorced and it was the right thing for them to do. You know, my parents weren't happy anymore and being around their unhappiness would have been so destructive for my sister and I. It was better that they split up. And again, but Carrie's very old-fashioned and very romantic, and she says, I can't tell Aiden forever and ever, when what I mean is for the foreseeable future. Whereas, literally, when I agreed to marry Max, it's because I don't see me being with anybody else right now. You know, who knows what could happen to us in the next decade? You know, anything could happen. And I wanted to go into my marriage realistically and, just understanding the way that everything changes and that nothing stays the same ever.
Yeah, that's great. I always found the Till Death Do Us Part stuff quite, well, I don't know, just quite intense.
Right?
very intense.
We've changed as a society. You know, the idea that a wife would belong to her husband, which was literally legally true until quite recently, you know.
Yeah.
A woman couldn't get a loan of her own until the early 80s. So it's kind of, God. You know, it's things are different now. And I would never agree to Till Death Do Us Part or Forever and Ever. I think that's insane. But Carrie is old school. And I think really deep down, she knows Aiden is not the right guy. I think.
Yeah. And he's really good in the chat when, you know, when he's coming through her wall.
Yes.
And she like goes over and she's really good too. Mm-hmm. She like says, I know I'm not supposed to say this, but I need mm-hmm. to talk to you. And he's really, really understanding and says, I need to take a minute here, but he like gets it. Or he says he gets mm-hmm. it. And then when they're by the fountain, it turns out
he doesn't get it.
And that's
which
that.
I've literally had happen to me in real life. Again, that oh, same really? Boyfriend, the same shower boyfriend. So this was my first boyfriend. And I said, my head is spinning. I feel like I'm panicking. In fact, I think I felt a bit how Carrie feels in this episode. It was uh-huh. my first real serious boyfriend as an adult. And uh-huh. it just all of a sudden had been going so well, so well, so well. And then I really hit a wall. And I knew that there were some problems in our relationship that were not. It was, I think they were deal breakers. And I didn't know how to end things. And I said, look, I need some time. I need a break. I did say, you know, can we go on a break? And he was like, yep, that's fine. Take all the time you need. 20 fucking 4 hours later, he was like, I need an answer now. And I was like, this is not what we agreed. And so, and it didn't go his way because I said, well, if you're making me decide now, I have to say no. And yeah. and maybe, you know, Aiden does the same, but at the same time, you know, if you've not watched the episode recently, it all comes to a head after a fabulous party at Richard Wright's hotel by a beautiful fountain in Central Park where Aiden says, let's get married right now because you're freaking out. And the best way to deal with your freaking out is to just get married in Vegas. And Carrie's like, you're not listening to me. You are freaking me out. And then Aiden has a bit of a breakdown. He kind of has a bit of a tantrum and says, you know, if you don't want to marry me now, you'll never want to marry me.
Yeah.
And the difficult thing is we'll never know. Because, and I think it's very, very telling that he runs off and gets married very quickly. Mm. Remember when Aiden shows up in the first episode of season 6, he's already married and has a child. So let's say season 5 and the rest of series 4, let's say that takes 18 months. So in the space of 18 months, Aiden is married and has a baby.
That's intense.
Which says to me, he is like one of those guys who just really wants to get married. You know, have we already had the taxi metaphor that, you know, women drive around like taxis in New York and their lights are always on, whereas men can drive around Manhattan for years without the go sign on, kind of, and then they turn the light on and the first person to get in the cab, they marry. And I think
that was season 1, there was an episode about the marrying guy. Or like a storyline about the marrying guy.
And I think Aiden is, and it's really difficult because there is a parallel world, let's call it the Aidenverse, where he gave her some time. And she realized there isn't a man in New York better than Aiden Shaw. Yeah. I've resolved my weird leftover shit with Big. We're just friends now. I really want to marry Aiden because no man is going to love me like he does, treat me as well as he does. I adore him. He makes me laugh. He is the best one. I want to marry that one.
Yeah.
And maybe she would have got there, but we'll never know because Aiden, unfortunately, throws a little shit fit. And I think he kind of cuts his losses. And I wonder if what's scaring Aiden is, what if I give this woman 4 years and then she decides it's not right? I wonder if it's... And let's face it, Carrie is nuts. And Aiden has now invested 2 years in Carrie Bradshaw.
Yes, to varying results.
I mean, she did cheat on him and he took her back. She really did fuck him over. We need to remember that. Carrie really fucked over Aiden last year.
Yeah.
And maybe he just... It's gambling, isn't it? And maybe he's taken his heart off the table. And that is a Carrie Bradshaw-ism from later in the series. But Yeah. So Aiden, that's it. And I find that scene, the last scene where she goes into the other half of the apartment and lies in his arms, I find it incredibly hard to watch. The idea that you just have this one last night with someone. And there's still so much affection between them. And I must, at the time, I didn't understand why they couldn't make it work. A part of me still doesn't understand why they can't make it work. But I can kind of see it from both sides as well.
Yeah, and that's what's good about how they did it. Like, it didn't feel like forced because John Corbett's like contract was up or whatever. Do you know what I mean? Like, it felt very like, it was a bit sudden, but it felt very organic and like it made sense, I thought.
And again, quite bold. I think, you know, any other TV show, you'd be working towards a wedding, you know, and, you know, there was probably a conversation where at some point, is the last episode of series for a wedding? You know, is it all building to that?
Yeah.
And so it's narratively weird that like four episodes from the end of the series, they're like, nope, she breaks it off.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, yeah. Okay.
But I think that's what makes Sex and the City so iconic, though, I was thinking about this, like, it is quite unpredictable at points, which is great. We love that. Like, anything that keeps us on our toes is amazing.
She cheats on him. She calls off an engagement.
Yeah. Unconventional.
And I think, you know, it's all part of this, you know, people say they don't like Carrie. I'm not sure you're always meant to like Carrie. And that's fine, viewers. let's take a lovely break here.
Yes.
And when we come back, we will attempt to answer the question, are we programmed? Speech in a sec.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Hello, and welcome back, So I Got to Thinking. It's just Juno and Dylan this week, and we're talking about episode 15, A Change of Address. We need to answer Carrie's question, are we programmed to want things like marriage and babies and family? Did I just say family twice?
No, marriage, babies. Well, you said marriage, babies, babies,
families,
and family.
Houses. Are we programmed?
And a home, yeah.
And that's a really interesting conversation. Again, harking back to my evolutionary psychology days, but shall we do well, which of the girls shall we do first? Miranda, Charlotte, or Samantha?
Let's do Miranda.
Miranda. How does one fake a sonogram? Dylan, do you want to fake a sonogram? I will now fake my sonogram. listeners, we invite you to fake a sonogram wherever you are now, even if you're on public transport. Go on, just do it. Just fake a sonogram. Go on. Just...
Or in the supermarket, or wherever you are.
Send us pictures of you faking sonograms. We'll purse them. Oh my God, please do that. We will purse them, with your permission, we will purse them to our Instagram. But please do send us pictures of you faking a sonogram.
I love it when she does it at the black and white ball and she's like, if I keep doing this, I'm going to hurt my neck or something.
We've not seen Magda in ages. I love that Magda is back. I love that Magda's around.
After what, like a season and a half?
Yeah, like,
when would you,
this might only be the second occurrence of Magda.
Yeah, because we had the Virgin
Mary.
Yeah,
which was season
when
three.
Like, made the...
And then we've seen so little of Magda, Carrie has to reintroduce her as Miranda's housekeeper, Magda. But we love her. Boy! Smile for a boy!
Smile.
Boy's highest blessing! I love her so much. The late Lynn Cohen, who we adore at Sorry Not Thinking.
Yeah, but it's really interesting, this storyline, because it made me think of, like, how far we've come and in some cases, like, how we've gone backwards with this kind of thing. Like gender reveal parties and like all that kind of shit. If this episode was set in 2021, it'd be Miranda like desperately dodging friends who were like trying to throw her a gender reveal party. Probably.
Just, we need to, in the UK, we need to be so resistant of gender reveal parties. We must not adopt it. It's like, also, you are special already. You are having a child. You do not need any more specialness in your life. We talked about this with Alice, who is now heavily pregnant. Congratulations to Alice Beverton Palmer.
Oh, yeah.
She just doesn't want to know. And why?
Yeah.
Because gender is a construct. Although, did you notice the doctor carrying out the sonogram just said, do you want to know the baby's sex, not gender?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Very good. I think that, I don't know, I feel like gender reveal parties, they had like a moment, didn't they, a couple of years ago. And I feel like they're slightly going
out of
style. Oh,
it's really
now.
Naff. And there was the people who died at
Which
one. You know, there was the notable one in America where people exploded.
Didn't one start a wildfire as
Correct.
Well?
Correct. Gender reveal party starting a bushfire. So you just don't do it. And you don't know. Like 0.2% of live births are intersex. Like 0.5% of the population is trans. You know, just... And also, you know, as long as bebe is happy and healthy and mum and parents are happy and healthy...
Who cares?
Who gives two shits? And as well, I sometimes think with gender reveal, you just start pushing gender onto a baby anyway. Like, you know, now that Miranda has faked her sonogram, you know, are people going to start buying her blue shit? Because, a lot of my friends who had babies were really, really mindful of, I don't want your gendered shit. Please don't bring me this stuff. You know, I want my child to be able to decide what things they want, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, it's so funny. I think my friend Sam won't mind saying hi, Sam. She long time listener, my friend Sam. We went out for brunch a couple of weeks ago, and her little baby Persephone was wearing just this really cute little grey romper. It was grey, and so many people said, "What's he called?" And I'm like, really? Still in the year of our Lord 2021, a child in grey is still defaulted.
My mum always tells me about, I used to get she a lot when I was little because I grew my, and bless my parents, they were just so amazing with this kind of thing. Like, I wanted to grow my hair. This was when I was older than a baby, when I was like a toddler. I wanted to grow my hair and I grew it right down to my waist and just everyone thought I was a girl. Including one time, this is a time that my mum always remembers, when I was on the beach naked playing with other kids. And they thought I was a girl because I had long hair, but I was naked. But they saw the hair and didn't look at like the more
obvious. They were really trans inclusive kids. They thought you were transitioning.
That's true. I'd never thought
really
of it.
Really trans inclusive, Dylan. My God, don't be reading the trans inclusive children of the beach.
Of Torquay Beach. Yeah.
Exactly. It's just a very queer beach. Okay. So Miranda's faking a sonogram. And I also love the moment where she feels that kick inside and all of a sudden it kind of becomes very real to her.
Yeah.
So it's something she needed to feel, not see.
Yeah.
Charlotte. And do you know, actually, I made fun of you earlier for not noticing the change of address pun.
Oh, yeah.
But this is the first time I got the line, she tapped into her pain.
Oh, yeah. Oh! I mean...
And all I can think is, in the writer's room, like, right, in this episode, we need Charlotte to, you know, tap into her pain. And somebody was like, hold my drink. I've got it.
Someone was really into the puns on this. Yeah. It was full of puns. And I kind of agreed with Charlotte when she said, you shouldn't invite people to this class where you're supposed to. I felt that the instructor should have just gone and, like, danced with her across. I was like, go to her and, like, help her, you know, go with her.
As someone who used to teach PE, that's exactly what you would have done. If there was a spare child, you would have been their partner. So that is crazy that there was such an easy fix. Charlotte's reaction was, of course, ludicrous.
And I love when she, like, leaves in the wrong direction and has to, like, pad back the other way.
She's so bossy as well in the earlier scene where she tells the other man how to dance. Chill, Charlotte.
Yeah.
But, you know, I do love that whole scene and very beautifully shot where you see her exit in the mirror as well.
Awkward.
Which leaves just Samantha and Richard Wright and JJ in his column.
I have something that's going to... Well, it might not shock you, actually, because we've been doing this podcast for a long time. I absolutely love JJ. I think I might need therapy, but I just think he's just hilarious.
We're going to start a GoFundMe for Dylan's therapy. If you can give anything at this difficult time to help our friend... get the help he so richly deserves, and please give anything you can.
The Richard Wright Therapy Fund.
Yeah, oh God. JJ is disgusting and you're mad. I don't think Samantha should have called him Limp Dick because it's not his fault. He suffers from erectile dysfunction. Work Charlotte swoops in for that one. However, the whole I must have caught it from one of you people line is iconic. Like, I think I have monogamy. Genius.
It's also amazing when she at the ball, like when she sees what's her name, the woman who Richard's sleeping with,
Judith McBain.
Mm-hmm. When she says Judith McBain and she says I'm gonna go over there and be completely calm and completely professional, and then just like has a face like absolute thunder. Mm-hmm. And just like runs away.
We need to talk about how amazing everyone looks at the black and white party.
Yeah.
And particularly, yeah, I know Carrie's wedding dress, that's not a wedding dress, gets a lot of attention. But Samantha's black and white, like, snow leopard. Oh!
Yeah.
Oh, I would wear that in a heartbeat. I don't know who it's by, but that is stunning. The one shoulder. Oh, that is right up my street.
And it's just the sort of thing, like, Michelle Visage would say on Drag Race, is she would say, like, I love how you took the black and white and instead of just wearing block colours, you decided to be a snow leopard. Like, yes. Like, with the earrings and, like, just all of it was incredible.
Stunning. Aiden looks hot. And yes, Carrie looks extraordinary in that gown.
Oh, God,
just
incredible. I like
why
the little detail.
Why she has the gown?
Because it is a wedding dress. I noticed by the fountain the little detail of she has like the train on like she's holding up the train like around her wrist on like a band, mm-hmm, which I thought was really cool,
like a wedding dress. I love the earrings and I love the hair. The Princess Leia hair is amazing as well.
What was the carrier? What was the outfit that you? Oh, it must be the belt around the. And then, like, the tree, she's wearing, like, a sort of tree.
She has Groot. She's got Groot from Guardians of the Galaxy in her hair. She's wearing a belt around her rib cage on her bare skin. That belt's not holding anything up except her ribs. The blouse under her bra.
There was a lot going on, wasn't
insane.
There?
Insane. And I must... There was a period in this season where the outfits had gone, for me, too far. And actually, I think after this season, partly because Carrie was pregnant in the next series, but then in season six, the outfits get way less kooky. In fact, Carrie even says herself, you know, when Samantha tries to dress her up in series five, it's time for ladies to cover it up, you know.
Yeah, I remember
that. The rock hard abs go away next season, largely because she was pregnant. But, oh God, Carrie, a gingham bell around an exposed midriff. Absolutely not. It's my least favourite thing she wears in all six seasons.
It's very
Jodie
Hart.
Mad shit, but that is inexcusable.
I was going to say it's very Jodie Harsh. I mean Jodie Marsh. It's very Jodie Marsh wearing a belt over.
Belt boob yeah. thing. Yeah. Ooh, no, Carrie. I just can't. It's, again, a bit like the ring around the neck. It's a kook too far for me.
just a bit too far.
Just too far.
JJ said, I can think of a few other places I'd like to put my column.
Is that why you like him?
No, I don't even know anymore. But for some reason I do. So Samantha, yeah, I mean, not much to get from this storyline, really.
Because I've got a feeling next week they do decide to be monogamous anyway. So it's all a bit of a false start.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You know, it's Samantha's evolution, isn't it? You know, we're kind of, I mean, the face she makes when Charlotte says, you never want to get married. And Samantha's like, which is brilliant. And again, it's always been a slight disappointment of mine that season six ended with all four of them nicely coupled up in relationships. But I'm really glad that Samantha, to date, has not got married anyway.
Yeah.
I think that's, she has stayed true to herself on that one. So, to wrap up, are we programmed to want these things? Richard Dawkins, notable dreadful person, says that we are because of our selfish genes and that we are just little machines who desperately want to replicate ourselves so there are more of our genes.
I do think we're 100% think that we're programmed, but definitely not by genes, by society, obviously.
Mm. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, social psychology. That. Why don't you come up and see me?
Take that, Richard Dawkins. I mean, obviously that's a generalization, but I think like loads of people are understandably programmed and pressured by society.
Yeah.
To want marriage.
100%, including some friends of a friend who a woman has just left a perfectly good relationship because her parents wanted her to have an arranged marriage.
Mm.
Not with that guy, with our guy, you know, and right. sure enough, she's gone through with it, which I think is perplexing, but also socially understandable because of the scenario that woman is in. But I am mindful of genetic predeterminism because I think when you start talking about things being genetic, it's just always a hop, skip and a jump to eugenics. Yeah. Like, I'm always very mindful of, as soon as people start talking about, you know, biology or genetics, you know, you're always skirting perilously close to, like, race theory and measuring craniums and all that nonsense.
I remember when we were discussing it last time, just a couple of weeks ago, I do put some stead in it. Like, I believe that we have instincts.
We are evolved from hunters and gatherers.
And I guess it could be argued that, like, having kids could be an instinct sometimes. It's not for me, but it might be for a lot of people.
We haven't got a womb in the room. We are wombless in this room. Mm. And a lot of my cis female friends have spoken about a powerful desire to not just raise children, but to birth children.
Mm.
We've talked about this numerous times during Charlotte's IVF as well.
Yeah.
That it has to be more than a whim. You know, I've seen couples tear their lives apart to try have children. So I think there has to be a biological element there somewhere, even if it's just insane hormones. And something that I can speak on is how powerful hormones are. You know, my life has been dominated first by testosterone and then later by estrogen, you know, and I'm a very different person without testosterone than I was with testosterone. So I know that hormones very much change the way we think without a shadow of a doubt. And so I don't know if it's about so much programmed as we are mammals. You know, we are animals.
Yeah.
We are very, very highly evolved and highly social creatures, but we are still mammals, and our bodies are funny, weird things. Like, we make milk in our boobs, you know. It's like, if you put bits of our bodies together and mix the juice of one body with the juice of another body, you can make a baby. That's so science fiction, but
well, so sci-fi. That's what Carrie says. So sci-fi, in the black and white wall.
Mm-hmm.
It's like those alien eggs. Do you remember those alien eggs at school where you could put the two aliens together?
Yeah, just mad. Just, it is mad. So but then something that Carrie doesn't really go into, because again, she kind of answers half a question, is maybe we program, but we don't have to do shit about it. You know, we have free will, Carrie. Because I mean, that this, you know, the parallel conversation to talking about programming is free will and predestination. And some people really, really believe in fate. You know, and that's a question that I think we either have answered with Carrie or we will answer with Carrie, you know, about the power of destiny and fate. And
I think we briefly touched on it with Tanya.
Yes.
The episode with Tanya. Yes. So I remember she talked about Hinduism, and that was interesting.
Yeah. So I think maybe we are to some extent programmed, be it biologically or be it socially, but that doesn't mean we're not slaves to any sort of programming, I don't think. I just know that I just wanted to get married. And not, you know, to lock Max down, because I think we'd quite successfully done that by getting a mortgage together, kids. but it was more, I wanted an amazing party where all my friends came and we ate nice food and I wore a big stupid dress. You know, and that didn't feel, that everything about that day felt like a choice. You know, because in many ways, the more sensible choice would have been to not bother in the middle of a pandemic, kind of. But I'm really glad we did. So I think to answer Carrie's question, are we programmed to want these things? Somewhat. I would love to be able to give you a yes-no answer, but I don't think it's a yes-no question.
No.
Or maybe it's a yes. What do we think? Because we are, you're right, we are so societally programmed.
Yeah.
We are.
And that's how I saw it. Like, that's how I saw the question. But I don't know. But if we're talking about, it's layered, isn't it? As usual.
Because, I mean, society definitely wants to, all you have to do is listen to politicians wanging on about family values.
Oh my God. Really. It's
When they say family values, they mean straight, married, cisgender.
And you know what? Never was that more apparent than during, like, lockdown and all the rules that were brought. Don't get me started,
I always feel family values should come with a wink. It's such a dog whistle. Family values, no gays here. Family values, no trans kids. You know, family values, get married. Monogamy. Because I mean, that's a whole other, we're talking about monogamy many times, but I truly believe that, again, we're not programmed biologically to be monogamous. I think we're programmed societally. I think biologically we were never meant to be monogamous, I don't think.
No, I would agree. But I also would never judge people. I'm always really careful to say that. Yeah. No judgment.
Yeah. No judgment. Cool.
Next week.
So, when you join us next week, things are going to be just a little bit different. We figured here at So I Got to Thinking that you would be as excited as we are about And Just Like That, which of course starts next Thursday on Sky TV or Now TV, the day after it airs in America. So we are going to temporarily pause season 4 because we figured you'd want to talk about And Just Like That right away.
We couldn't not.
How could we not? And like, we don't want to wait until we finished. We know that everybody's going to be talking about And Just Like That. And this is the single biggest thing to happen.
Ever.
The single biggest thing to happen in the lives of Sex and the City fans in like a decade. Yeah. So of course we're going to. So what will happen is Dylan and I are going to watch the episodes when they come out on Thursday, but then the episodes will still be available the following Tuesday. So dear listener, you don't need to do anything. The episodes will come to you each Tuesday. And we figured as well, that gives you like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. It gives you 5 days to watch the episode so that nothing we say is going to give you any spoilers. But of course, if for whatever reason you're not watching And Just Like That, that's fine. Just skip those episodes.
Yep.
And when And Just Like That's finished, we will resume season 4 from where we got to.
Yeah. So there you go. And Just Like
And
That.
Just Like That. And Just Like That. HBO derailed our fucking podcast. Thanks, HBO. No, we're very excited. Please send us free things. We enjoy free things, HBO. We love you.
So we'll see you next week.
We'll see you next Tuesday.
Like, see you next Tuesday.
God, what's it going to be? Just, it's mind blown. It's just going to be like however long. So obviously it's a bumper episode as well. We've got 3 episodes to binge. So,
and we've hopefully got an exciting guest
we think as well. To be confirmed, but we think there's going to be an exciting guest as well. Until then, stay safe and we'll see you next week for Just Like That. Bye.
Bye.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.